Daniel, do you ever wonder why? That was the first slide. Is Daniel? I think Daniel was saying like maybe, that we have to wonder when we think about God. We can come to a point where it can be familiar. Bless you. It can be familiar. Our thoughts to God can be familiar, and that is not what God wants. He wants to be holy, which is the opposite of familiar. He wants to be holy. You know, right now in heaven, the angels are declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So that's just, he wants to break into our consciousness and reveal himself as holy, that we ought to say that he's holy, that we ought to agree with the worship going on in heaven. I'm getting too far ahead. All right, so do you ever wonder why you're here? Why you have to struggle? Why can't it all just be easy? What does God require of me? How do I balance it all? Am I getting it right? What do you desire? Those are kind of like my questions. You know, there's this life God has given us. Do you ever wonder? Because Jesus has set forth a path for us. And am I walking that path? That's what I wonder. Am I walking that path? And I know in years past, I haven't walked that path. I've walked who knows what path, everywhere, which way, but that path. But here I am today, and I wonder, and my kids will attest. I ask them questions like that a lot, which really have no clear answer, and they're kind of dumbfounded. I'm expecting them to give me some type of answer back. But the joys of parenthood, and God is our Father. He asks us this. You know, so ask the tough questions, but better yet, find out the answers. God puts questions in us for us to find the answers. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter." That's interesting, but it's the word of God. "But to search out a matter is the glory of kings." And I don't want to get too much into that yet, but he's made us a kingdom of priests to God. There's several verses about that. Revelation 1:6 is one of them. Let's see. All right, cool. We're good. We're cooking with oils. So, next slide. God is pursuing us. The Lord formed and made us all in our mother's womb. That's true. That's in the Bible. Several verses. They're there. You don't have to turn to them, but you can write these down. I'm going to be doing a lot of scripture references, and I'm not expecting you guys to go there, but you'll have them, so write them down and study them later. Psalm 139:13-16, Isaiah 44, and Jeremiah 1:5. Something unique about Jeremiah, though, of all the times it's recorded in the Bible that God says he formed us in our mother's womb from long ago, only of Jeremiah does it say, "I foreknew you and set you out as a prophet to the nations." I thought that was interesting. It's interesting because some people, Jesus is going to say, "Get away, I never knew you." And it wasn't the Pharisees. It was people that are saying, that are calling God their Father. So he created us. God's will for us is to have eternal life and spend it with him. That's salvation. Right? He wants us to know him. And he wants to know us. Relation. It's like, I don't know how much we want to chop this up, but God is considered the Father and Creator. There are several times where Jesus says, "Your father is actually the devil." But he says, and he also says that people will say, "Lord, Lord," Matthew 7:22. "In your name, didn't we prophesy?" And they were doing it in his name. "In your name, didn't we cast out demons?" Jesus referenced the time where they said he was, the Pharisees said Jesus was doing things by the power of the devil. And Jesus said, "Can Satan cast out Satan?" No. So these people that Jesus is talking to cast out demons in his name. They performed miracles in his name. And that was a sobering verse for me. Because he told those people, "Get away from me, I never knew you." I think I want to read that one. Matthew 7. You can turn there with me. Because that's scary. You know, I think as at our church, we want those things. We're desiring to move in those things. But we need to look at that whole context because it's important. And we do move in those things. And God's been waking us up. You know, God is doing a new thing at Osborne. He's been doing it for a while, but there's a newness. There's more. There's more. It says in the latter days, there'll be more in the latter than the former. You know, God is at work. But let's read 7:22. Well, it's actually going to be 21 through 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Like, that's one of our cries here. Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, but I have many Bibles referenced in here, many translations. But it also says in other translations, depart from me, evildoers. So there's a sense like they were doing things they ought to do, but their heart was not in the right place. And our heart needs to be in the right place. Amen. And we need to know God and He knows us. Amen. I'm not going to get up to the throne and be like, get away from me, I never knew you, Nick. Yeah. That's going to be a sad day. You know, God made us and knows exactly how we work. And He made us in a way that can only be fulfilled by knowing God. Like a puzzle with an odd-shaped missing piece, but He's got it. And we're going to try, people will try to fill their life with that piece. With money, with sex, with drugs, with all kinds of stuff, doing things, vacations, which are all things that are good in context, but they will not take us to where we need to be. So next slide, please. So famous scripture, probably one of the most well-known scriptures, John 3:16. I'm going to read from the New King James. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Depart from me, you who do evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So back to God's intent. Jesus came. God is pursuing us. Next slide. More on God's pursuit. John 17:1-13. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God. Like, we can have eternal life right now if we know the Lord. The prize of God is not heaven. The prize is knowing Him. Is knowing Him. Pastor Ryan's preached a couple times, but it's about knowing Him, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you. There is no greater thing. The prize is not afar off. The prize is here and now. Today is the day of salvation. God is the God of the present. God is the God of the living. It's now. It's here and now. And He offers His presence. You know, He tore the veil that we can all freely come into His presence. Next scripture. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't being slow as some about His promise, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God wants all people. It's God's will that everyone be saved. Amen. Amen. More on that later. Next slide. So how can we know him, right? How can we know him? The Lord formed us, we talked about earlier. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask in the Father, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. John 15, 16. So he chose us, but we can choose him back. And it's like when he is just, here, I've chosen you, we still have to reach out and grab him and choose him. You know, how did he choose us? He devoted his life to us. We should devote our life to him. Did I write consecrating? Yeah. Oh, sorry, that's probably too small, but I apologize. We can consecrate ourselves to him. You know, like, I'm setting myself apart to you, Lord. You know, there's a command several times in the scripture to be holy as God is holy. Setting yourself apart, that's an act of making yourself holy. By making him holy in our hearts, by setting him apart in our hearts, by meditating on his word. How can you know someone if you never talk to them? I guess the only example I have of that is like arranged marriages. But we don't really have context to that. Isn't that so weird? We have no context what that means because it doesn't make any sense at all. It makes zero sense. We have to hear the things God has said to us, and they have to come in. We have to meditate it. We have to chew it. We have to process it. You know, and he's written this humongous love letter to the church. Humongous love letter to church. And if you haven't read the Bible all the way through, I encourage you to do so, like, as soon as possible. Nancy, what was her last name? You know? What was her last name? Anyway. Okay. Who? Palmer. Yes, thank you, whoever said that. Nancy Palmer. I was at Jake and Kim's wedding. Are they? They're not here. I saw Kim, but I didn't see Jake. I was at their wedding, and she encouraged me to read through the Bible. And at that point, I hadn't done it yet. That was a while ago. Now I can say that I have done it. And Pastor Greg has shared many times, how do we know if Jesus didn't say some crazy stuff unless we read the whole counsel of God? So, you know, I'm happy to say that I've read the whole counsel of God, and I'm continuing to read the whole counsel of God as he leads, guides, and directs. So we need to read, we need to spend time, we need to hear his words, we need to read his words, but there's another way to hear his words. How about devoting time in prayer? This is a good one. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And I can attest to that one myself. Jesus actually combined two references of that scripture. In Isaiah, he says, my house will be a house of prayer to all the nations. And in Jeremiah, it's more of the opposite. You know, you've made my house a den of thieves. Also in communion. And this is so cool. I just saw this yesterday. Some of the disciples, this is after Jesus died, and Jesus was walking with a couple of disciples. They walked the whole way. They were talking with him. He explained the scriptures from the beginning to where Jesus was at that time. And then they went down and sat to eat. And it wasn't until Jesus broke bread that their eyes were open. They knew. Like, they spent all this time walking with Jesus, and they didn't know him. That Jesus wants us to know him. All right, next slide. Jesus' example. So, obviously, if we want to do things Jesus did, right? He did so much on the earth. It says that in John 21, 25, that there are also so many things which Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose not even the world itself could contain the books that could be written. Jesus did some works, right? He even said, we'll do these things and greater. Amen. He had a great healing ministry. You know, like, yes, let's have a healing ministry. Yes and amen. But back to Matthew 7:22. If we're healing and performing miracles and we don't know him, woe unto us. Woe unto us. What is the thing? What was the thing he did that was most important? Next slide. He prayed. His prayer life. We don't read about Jesus' prayer life that much. But I would submit to you that he did that more than anything else. He didn't need, if there's anybody that didn't need to pray, it was him. Yet he made it a priority. He walked in full communion with the Lord. He only did what the Father did. You know, how can we know what the Father's doing if we're not praying to him? He only said what the Father told him. How can I give a word unless I've heard it from the Lord? And he gave us an example of how to pray. You know, and it says in Luke 5:16, he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. He went to the mountain and spent all night in prayer to God, Luke 6:12. Next slide, please. All right, so this one, we always hear it as the Lord's Prayer, right? I think it says that in the Bible, right? The Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer. I'll submit that to you. Because the disciples came to, how should we pray? How should we pray? And Jesus said like this. You know, is the Lord's prayer God's will? Are we praying God's will? I would submit to you, yes. Because why would Jesus tell us to pray something that wasn't in line with his will, right? So, it's in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. But I want to... I want to look at a few things, though, when we look at this. Because we just read, and I bet probably most of us could probably say it by memory, right? I mean, I said it by memory a long time ago, and I forgot how to say it because I treated it as common. This is the model prayer for the disciples. This is nothing but, not anything but common. And it requires us, you know, it's like I drank the milk of the Lord's Prayer, and yes, this is a great prayer, I'm going to pray it. But there is so much meat inside the Lord's Prayer. I can't even talk about it. Like, I can't even get through it all. And I just want to touch on a few things as much as I can. You know, it's for all believers. You know, and the Lord's Prayer was contrasted against how the Pharisees were praying. And we're going to get to that in a second. It invites us to experience what God has for us. You know, we just read off this prayer, the short, quick prayer from memory, and not even think about the words we're saying. It puts us in the correct perspective and gives God the glory. I shared a little tiny bit of this on Wednesday. But God gave me a huge revelation on the Lord's Prayer this past week. So I'm thinking, God, what am I going to talk about on Sunday? And he just brought this to mind. You know, God is in the business of revelation. Ephesians 1:17, I pray... This is Paul. I pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen. Amen. I'll take that all day, every day. Oh, that we would get revelation from God. I was in the car thinking about what am I going to pray about, and wow, just like the scripture was opened up. Like, I just ate that bread with Jesus and was like, ah, oh, this is what it means. Or probably just what a sliver of what it means. But let's read it. So next slide. We need to say the scripture so it can sink down. You know, let's say the scripture. So this is New King James on the screen. All right, one, two, ready to go. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I shared last time I spoke, part of my, I guess, I came out of the Episcopalian church. So this is a thing that it's routine. It's often, you know, when you enter the pews. And it's good. There's nothing wrong with saying things often. And there's nothing wrong with a routine. And there's nothing wrong with this, you know. What does this Lord's Prayer, though, tell us about the nature of God? You know, we can just say that and just, like, totally gloss over everything. What does it reveal about the nature of man? And what should I do with it? So, next verse. This is a little bit of study, so hang on with me. Matthew 6, 9, the first scripture I have up there. Different translations, because I was talking with somebody about Bible translations, right? Because some people are like, no, New King James, no this, no that, or why do we read this translation? Why do we read that translation? And when someone has come up with a translation, obviously there's different reasons for a translation. They want to have a direct word for word, you know, they want to have a thought for thought, because relevancy, it's the relevancy of the word that matters. If it's not relevant to us today, it's like pointless, right? So relevancy, the scripture has to be understandable, and we're taking from ancient languages and trying to make them into ours with ways they used to say things that don't make sense to us today. So that's why there's so many translations, and they're all doing their best to get the word across. So I'll just leave you with that. So I've underlined a few things. You know, I've studied the New King James, English Standard, NIV, NLT, New Living Translation, The Message, The Passion Translation. Excuse me. So, in this manner, therefore, pray. What is the therefore? That's where we wanted to go, to Matthew 5, 6, verse 5 through 8. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. Where are you? Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have the reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask. So when he says, therefore, in this manner, pray, let's come in with that context. It's not to be seen by men, but sometimes we pray that way in the church. We pray so we're explaining our prayer as we pray. And there's some value to that, but that's not the way we ought to pray. Okay, and then we're not just to pray over repetitive, like out in the street corner, like who are we praying for? We're praying for people to hear us. No, but we're supposed to go to the secret place. We're supposed to go to God alone. Go to God, like Jesus, he went out to the mountaintops. He went out alone with the Father and prayed. You know, take off all those outer garments, just come to the Lord and pray. So removing just your true self, pray like this. Next slide. I need a bigger podium. So this is the NEV. You're like, what the heck is that? Well, those are my initials. This is the NIC translation. Do not pray as the Pharisees do, to be heard by men, but in the secret place, Where he who sees in secret wards openly, since God already knows everything about you and all your needs, pray like this. So just taking, look, go like in the New Living Translation, it just says pray like this. No, you got to get the context. You got to understand what they're doing. And so that's kind of me just expounding on what I read, what it was there for, how we ought to pray. So, man, next. Now, this is big. This is big. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's what we just read. Some translations have the exact same thing. Look at the New Living Translation. May your name be kept holy. The Message, reveal who you are. The Passion, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. There's so much more than hallowed be your name that we... That's there. There's so much more. Our Father, meaning it was written to the church. Father, meaning it's written to believers who are his sons and daughters. To those who believe, he gave the right to become the sons and daughters of God. And we have become joint heirs with Christ. We have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Our Father. In heaven. This one, I was doing a word study, and it's not on there, but it would be pretty dry if I had that. But the word in heaven, it talks about the starry host. So the starry host, I'll just leave it at that. The order of things eternal and consummately perfect where God dwells and other heavenly beings. Meaning he's high and lifted up in a place that we desire to be with when we join him. That Jesus prayed that we'd be one with him on earth, just as Jesus was one with the Father on earth. And in heaven, he's being worshipped day and night, 24-7, by the angels and the elders. That's who we're praying to. And we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and we're coming to the Lord. Even when we say, hallowed be your name, we're acknowledging that he's holy. Like our time, it's coming into us. Not that we're not praying God is holy. God is holy. It's us acknowledging and declaring it back to the Lord. It's us consecrating ourselves and separating ourselves and purifying us. You know, this is so good. Your name, right? May your name be kept holy. Hallowed be your name. The word in the Bible, in the Greek, is gnosko, and I'm sorry if I said that wrong. And the word a name means to learn, to know, come to know, get a knowledge of, perceive. God enters our perception. Like, that is so crazy. He comes after us to say, hi, I'm God. Hey, that is crazy, right? To give us knowledge, to give us understanding, and even the same word used to describe sexual intercourse. And that's the word Pastor Ryan has talked about, yada, right? That's another word. To be acquainted with and to know. So we can set apart his name as holy, to know him even closer than a man knows a woman. Even like back in the day, they would say relations. Like, we're made for relationship. And it's so weird to say these things in the same context. But if you get the weirdness out of it, God wants us so closer than any relationship we can have here on earth. Amen. And we can pray to the Father, seat him with Christ in the heavenly places, to the Father that knows us, to the Father that wants so much relationship with us. Right. That's the God who we can pray to, that hears us. And next slide, my translation. God in heaven, may your name be revealed in its truest sense. Awaken the hearts and minds of your children to Yahweh. Like, we're praying that the church would know the Lord. We're praying for individuals to know the Lord. We're even encouraged in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. If you're going to be that ready, you got to know the Lord. You can't know the Lord. You can't be ready for a defense if you don't know the Lord. I mean, you might have some book knowledge, but you can't. You know, people that are smart will get right through that. There's atheists. There's people that challenge Christianity that are way smarter than you, and they've already figured out all the answers and what you're going to say back. But they cannot refute a changed life. They could try, but they can't refute. They can't refute it. And your family knows. Your friends know, and nothing can refute that. Next slide. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This was the biggest revelation I had. This is not passive. How often do we think of the will of God as just this ominous thing that's going to happen one way or the other? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Those are things that God is. Jesus said, you pray it. Look at the New Living Translation. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done. You know, his kingdom. May his kingdom come, his will be done. His royal power, his kingship, his dominion, his rule. Also referred to as, you know, Jesus, the triumphant, the royal power of Jesus. It's used, that same word is used so many times to refer to the reign of the Messiah, the kingdom come. That word come, it's the way that it's written in the Greek means to come into being, to be established, become known, to come, to fall into, to go, to follow one. There's an action. There's an invitation to participate. One of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 2, I want to say 13. I keep getting it mixed, 12 and 13. But it says that for it is God who works in you to will and do for his good pleasure. Friends, we don't have a silent part in just saying, oh God, your will is going to happen. We have an active part in agreement with his will. I like the message. Set the world right. Do its best. Manifest your kingdom realm. We can pray, manifest your kingdom realm. Like, I feel like sometimes when we talk about like the gifts, the supernatural, the healings, the casting out demons, when we talk about stuff, I feel like there's a reservation. By what authority can we do that? By Jesus' authority, who told us to pray. Amen. Jesus told us to pray that. You know, on earth as it is in heaven. Look at this. Oh, this is the best part. Are there any unsaved people in heaven? Zero unsaved people in heaven. It's God's will that zero people are lost. Yet some do. So God's will, it's not always coming into fruition. I just want to make that clear. Like, yes, there is this overarching God's will that yes, okay, we already know it's going to happen. It's already been written. But it hasn't been written every person's believer that they're going to get saved. Like, there's an act, there's something that we need to do. There's something that we need to do. There's no tears in heaven. There's zero death in heaven. There's zero demonic presence in heaven. We can pray down from heaven that demonic presence has to go in Jesus' name. With authority. There's zero flesh in heaven. At least this flesh. I don't know, maybe there's another flesh. I got another body somewhere waiting for me. But this flesh that's corrupted does not exist in heaven. And the flesh that's so easily corruptible does not exist in heaven. He is being worshipped the way he wants to be perfectly in heaven. We got to get a hold of that. They're fully in the presence of God 24/7 in heaven. There's no oppression. There's full of joy. There's no false doctrine in heaven. They are fully in the midst of the perfect. I love in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it talks about when that which is perfect comes, that's what is imperfect will be done away with. In heaven, we can be fully in the presence of the perfect. and that is imperfect. So we can, these are things we can pray into. And these are the things the church needs so badly today. You know, we deal with people that are struggling. We deal with our flesh. We deal with sickness. We deal with tears, death. We deal with so much, but we can pray down the kingdom of heaven. Your will be done. Oh, this was good. This was good. The word for will, the definition of what God wishes to be done by us. The purpose of God to bless mankind through Christ. All right, next slide. Here's the NIC translation. Cause your kingdom to invade this earth, where everything you've determined to happen for your church has become a reality on earth as it is in heaven. And not overstepping. I mean, I think there is a sense of, there can be fear or hesitation around, okay, let's just go after it. But no, let's go after what he says we can go after. And not more, not less. Let's go after what he says we can go after. Because it's God working in us to will and do for his good pleasure. He works, he partners with my will. It's God working in me. All right, next slide. Oh, I knew this was going to, I got way too many. But anyway, Matthew 6:11. Give us, this is the second best. Okay, so first revelation, stay on this slide. The first revelation, you need to make sure you leave this place with that we can pray down the kingdom of heaven. Revelation number one for me, and that you should take note of and do it and practice it and go for it. And don't let anybody tell you not to, because it's in the word. We just read it. You just said it. All right. Next. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. That just sounds like, give us some bread. give us some food, right? Give us some food. So, give us the food we need. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. I thought that was interesting. Come on, the message, put it that way. the passion. Oh, excuse me. Let's take a look at that. All right. Wow. I'm so dehydrated. I was working off coffee and little sleep. Because what God was trying to say this morning, like, it was too heavy. It was too heavy. And it was, yesterday was intense for me. But give us this day our daily bread. The food we need, we acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. There are so much more deeper levels that we can go with that. I'm gonna give you some examples here. God sustain us with physical bread, food, yes and amen. The same word is used to describe the manna from heaven. Bread from heaven. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven. I want you to take note of that. Rain bread from heaven. The same word used to describe the bread of the presence. The same word used to describe the bread at the Lord's table. The same word used to describe the bread that the miracles were done with. You know, the feeding of the 5,000. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom. Luke 14:15. The same word is what Jesus said when he said, I'm the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. So get this. Give us today our daily bread. You go to the next slide. Give us everything we need for the day. Your presence. Your purpose. Your miracle working power. Food and everything else. I need to accomplish what you've ordained for this day. We're not just, it's not just some flippant five verse prayer. There is meat in here that we can hold on to. All right, next slide. So that was the second revelation, that the bread that we eat is the presence, it's the communion, it's the purpose. Like, this is not just food, this is everything we need to sustain, which doesn't just mean milk. Yeah, God feeds us milk, right? God feeds us milk, but he also serves us meat, the steaks. He's got steaks for us, steak and potatoes with some butter and chives. <Let's go. laughs> And you know what? You have to receive that plate. You have to cut up that meat. You have to interact with that. You have to chew it. You have to grind it up and digest it into your body and let it become part of you. Like, there's an active part. There's such an active part. All right, next slide. And forgive our debts. Revelation number 3. I didn't even write these. These are Revelation number 3s. But these are the points you need to take away from. Revelation number 3. Forgive our debts as we forget of our debtors. If you cannot do this, if you have a problem with this right now, you need to go be reconciled, like right now. Like, you should just get up and leave and go do it right now. Because at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he says, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. The price Jesus, the price God paid to have a relationship with us, he paid the highest, highest price that we could have a relationship with him. Amen. And if we're going to go around to somebody else and not forgive them, probably for the stupidest thing, right? Probably for the stupidest thing, what the heck? That's all I can say. What the heck? Like, and I, like, that's probably why Jesus is like, it's huge, it's important. And I like how some of the different translations put it. Forgive our debts. You know, like, we've done something wrong and we owe somebody. Forgive our sins. We've done something wrong, we've offended somebody. Keep us forgiven. Like, the message, I like that. It's like, keep us in a state of being forgiven. Like, it's not just a one-time thing. It's like a, you got to keep coming. And also, you got to keep forgiving. passion. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, and we ourselves release forgiveness to those who wrong us. That's my favorite. That's one of my favorite things that my father-in-law, who's not here, but he might listen to it. Hey, it's Jake and Kim. Sorry. I talked about you earlier. Sorry. So forgive us. We ourselves release forgiveness. The act of releasing forgiveness. Sometimes we can, if somebody offends us, somebody owes us, we hold on to that, and it's like following us. It then becomes like a little backpack that we carry around full of bricks. You know, but if we release it, if we release it and walk away, drop the backpack and walk away. The Lord is, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He will repay. The Lord will take care of you. If we want to take care of it, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. There was that verse Greg loves to talk about, sparks flying upward. It's going to be some sparks flying upward. That's from Job. Forgiveness is the key to open the door of the kingdom. Revelation 3:20. He's talking to the church. Behold, I stand at the door of the knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. Communion. But if we're just lukewarm, he'll spit us out of his mouth. Like, it'd be better for us if we were just hot and incensed and be like, why did you do this to me, and deal with it? It would be so much better to just get there and handle it. But if you can't for whatever reason, you need to drop it and walk away. All right, next verse, or next slide, my translation. Please forgive our shortcomings and intentional failures, and I spelled that wrong, as we forgive those who have wronged us. Yes, Lord. All right, next. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, this is point 4. Lead us. Do not lead us. Like NLT, don't let us yield. Keep us safe. Rescue us. This is a verb, the word el sphero. It's a word written in subjective mood, and I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. It doesn't really make sense to me, except that the definition of being written in the subjective mood means it may or may not happen. Do not lead us, may or may not happen. We are called to pray it. We are called to pray it. If we just say, oh, it's your will, it may or may not happen. But we can pray it because Jesus said, pray this way. But deliver us from evil. Oh, and this is so good. This is where it means I'm not going to even try. But it means deliver us, deliver us. And it's written in the way that it means a command to the hearer. Who's the hearer? Our Heavenly Father. And it seems weird. Like a lot of times when we pray, we're actually like ordering God. And it's really weird that we pray that way. And maybe it's just a cultural thing. I don't know. What Jesus tells us to pray this way, so we're going to pray this way. But God is responding to what He said. And we can pray that we would be delivered. We can pray that we won't be led into temptation because we know that He won't allow us to be tempted more than we ought to. But He will. When we pray, we can pray for deliverance from ourselves and from the enemy. So next slide, my translation. Keep us from the evil one and from following our fleshly desires as You deliver us. Draw us to Yourself. All right. See, I knew I wouldn't get through most of this stuff. All right, Daniel, you're up. while he's making his way, we're going to still finish it out. For Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, the kingdom and the power of the glory forever. I could not encapsulate, for Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that may have been on purpose. I cannot encapsulate. I was studying for a long time just on this last thing. I could not encapsulate it. But for Yours is the kingdom, Father. For Yours is the power and Yours is the glory forever and ever. All right. I guess Daniel's not here. And my translation, You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You alone are all powerful, and Your glory and majesty reign now and forevermore.